Karlsson, Karlsson, världens bästa Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, hoj här kommer Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, ingen faktiskt, ingen annan Karlsson spelar jag så bra som mig.
Karlsson, Karlsson, Karlsson scores!
Karlsson, Karlsson.
Yes! Welcome everybody to another episode of the Keeping Karlsson Fantasy Hockey Podcast, the longest running fantasy hockey podcast in the world, hosted by a guy who knows how Mikko Rantanen feels because I'm also changing to a new podcast teammate today. I'm your host, Elon Dubrovsky, and with me is not Brian Kalm. He is on vacation, and so for the second year in a row, it's becoming an annual tradition. Next year I'll be like, Brian, you're not needed for the trade deadline, because we've got our ringer. You may know him from his work at Dauber Hockey, his annual fantasy hockey projections. I mainly consider him noteworthy for his top-tier puns and references and analogies. It is Steve Laidlaw. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me back. I'm always happy to come on the Keeping Karlsson show. I guess that makes me part of the fantasy mafia if we're making references to Mikko Rantanen.
Oh, is that okay? Not right off the bat here, I'm not sure I get the reference. I was listening to the show from last year. I was telling you offline, and you said some other reference there about what was it now? It was something also like a player said something. Oh, it was like Kuznetsov and like how he's like making the boat and expecting to carry the boat or something. I was just like, what? So yeah, what am I missing here with Rantanen and the mafia? A great start here for me.
It was Kuznetsov, and then some people play the piano and some people
The
piano and
yeah.
As it turns out, he does neither. But Rantanen is now part of Dallas's Finnish mafia. So,
I'm part of
your fantasy mafia.
I like it. Yeah, Rantanen, second team. It's pretty wild. I've never seen anything like this. I haven't looked this up. Has there ever been like a superstar player like at this level, like a 100-point-plus player that's been moved two times in the same season?
Gosh, nothing's jumping out to me off the top of my head. I mean, like, I think about like a lesser tier guy like Thomas Vanek, who was moved a couple of times throughout a season. And like, he was pretty good, but that was during the time when no one was allowed to score 100 points in a season. And this one's very big. It's very either, I don't know, NBA or fantasy hockey.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. It's like someone who traded for McDavid early on, gave up way too many assets, so then had to cut bait to get some depth back. Though I think all three teams turned out okay. I guess we'll get into it. So the plan for today, if people can't guess, we're going to cover the trade deadline. And it's like there's been so much hockey that's been played also, so I'll sprinkle in some stats here and there. But there's a lot of big moves that have happened, and Steve and I are going to break down, obviously, the fantasy impact here. I guess we can look into like if it was good for the team or not, but mainly, you know, which players benefit, which players maybe get hurt by these transactions, and what you can do as you're heading into your fantasy playoffs. Hopefully 1 week left in the fantasy regular season for the Keeping Karlsson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, and a lot of other leagues, you know, closing it out soon. So we've got to make smart decisions here, and it's extra challenging since we have players in new situations, but that's what we have Steve here for. Of course, we are presented by DauberHockey.com, awesome website. They have an article for every trade breaking down who they think benefited and, you know, had their value hurt by the moves. So yeah, check that site out. But all right, let's get started. And yeah, we got to go with Rantanen to start over in Dallas. It's complicated now more so because Roope Hintz is injured. I think the latest is that Hintz is, let's see here, flew home today. We'll see. Initial thought was it's nothing long term, but obviously not available day to day. So that doesn't sound so bad. As far as today's lines go for Dallas, it looks like Rantanen is playing with Johnston and Robertson. It's like a pretty sweet improvement for Wyatt Johnston. Not that he really needs it. He's been super hot. But, you know, looking at the lines before the Hintz injury, it was Rantanen, Hintz, Robertson. And then Rantanen took Duchesne's spot on the top power play. I guess Duchesne maybe has it back today. Dallas is playing, actually, as we speak right now. By the way, nice return for Carolina. They got Stankoven, who's a guy we'll definitely talk about in a moment. A two firsts, two thirds. I do wonder, I guess they'll never tell us. I'd love if a journalist would ask like the Colorado GM, like, so would you prefer, did you wish you could have just gotten Stankoven in two firsts and two thirds instead of Natchez, Drury, and a second? Like, I wonder if Colorado's saying, oh, I could have gotten that. I guess we'll have to see how Stankoven turns out over the next few years. But yeah, like I said, Rantanen, right to line one, power play one. He had a goal and an assist in the 5-4 loss to Edmonton, four shots on goal. So I got to imagine Rantanen fantasy managers are super stoked that this happened because the trade to Carolina seemed to really curtail his value. And he went from like a 100-plus point guy to like a 70-75 point guy. So yeah, I'd imagine anyone who like traded for Rantanen, you know, bought low on him while he wasn't doing as well in Carolina must be really excited right now. Are you with me, Steve, that now we could go back to near Colorado Rantanen expectations rest of the season?
Yeah, I was kind of concerned that maybe it wouldn't work out so hot for him in Dallas either, but a really hot start for him and loading up the top line for him is a good way for things to get kicked off well. And I mean, he signed a huge deal, so clearly he wants to be there. Maybe he's over the shell shock. And I mean, honestly, some of him not scoring in Carolina was just bad luck, and some of that is just Carolina is a team that just doesn't seem to shoot that well. Like the most shocking stat that I looked up was before the Nichas Rantanen trade and after the power plays for Carolina and Colorado. They're both like, I don't know, 17th, 18th, 19th, around like 20, 21%. After that trade, Colorado, first in the league, almost 40%, just scorching hot. They have no regrets about what happened with that trade. Carolina's power play, dead last, could not be worse. 8%, wild. Just horrible. So if that was going to continue, probably not in Carolina. He was probably going to start producing a little bit more there too. But now he's in Dallas, and Dallas was scorching when he arrived and continued to scorch after his arrival. So it's good to see, because just about everyone would have taken in Rantanen with a first-round pick. So if your first round pick suddenly turns into dust, you would rather it be like an injury or something like that than him just getting traded and it just sucking for no reason.
Yeah. So it was, you know, people in their dynasty leagues with Rantanen or keeper league, they'll always remember like those rough 2 months, and hopefully it'll just be smooth sailing for the next 5 years or whatever until Rantanen finally tails off due to age. But yeah, assuming Roope Hintz is fine, like I'm just curious, like who, like, is hurt by this. I guess like the obvious one would be Matt Duchene if he loses his top power play spot. Duchene's been having a crazy year. His assist yesterday against the Oilers brought him to 64 points in 63 games on the year. Like Duchene's been playing at even strength, at least in that game, with Granlund and Marchment, which isn't that amazing. I'm actually holding Granlund still in my main league, the Keeping Carlson Ultra Patriot Fantasy League, and I'm like wondering if you're going to tell me that I'm snoozing here and I need to let Granlund go. I'm still missing when he was my top player back at the start of the year with San Jose. But yeah, those are two guys that jump out to me. Obviously, with Hintz injured, Duchene gets the save execution with that extra power play time for a little bit. But yeah, do you have any thoughts on players who maybe have their values hurt, or anyone who you think goes up with Rantanen coming into town?
So I do think that, like, some mild concern for Duchene, but like, for a number of reasons, like I'm not going to go like crazy about losing faith in him. For one, like after the start of the season, like the Stars top line was doing nothing. Hintz, Robertson, Johnston, like they weren't doing all that much. It was Duchene's line that was killing it, and the second power play unit that was killing it. And I think that with all the depth that they have, that's going to help Duchene remain productive. And then like, I think Thomas Harley was like a huge reason why power play one was not clicking, because he wasn't on it, and power play two was clicking because he was on it. Well, like Thomas Harley is playing like all the power play minutes. So they're just like, throw him out there with all of our sick forwards and it's going to be magic. So power play two can still be productive as long as power play one isn't scoring like every single goal within 30 seconds and they never get a chance. So as long as they're riding Harley, I think that there's good exposure to kind of the driver of the power play for both units. And then the third reason is like, we're seeing it right now. Roope Hintz, he's a band-aid. So he's going to get hurt, and like a puck to the face, like that's kind of random, but these things just seem to keep happening to him, and that happens, and Duchene pops back up on power play one. So lots of reasons to remain faithful to what Duchene's done for you so far. As far as Granlund goes, I think it's a different story. I think everyone that the Sharks have dispatched from their team this year is like hawk to a coin. They pumped, they dumped, and now you're left with nothing, and Mike Greer's sitting there swimming in his picks like Scrooge McDuck.
That's okay. Well, hey, one guy who's actually looking okay, Vitek Vanacek, got a shutout in his first game for Florida. I guess we'll talk about him in a little bit. Maybe that's a guy who might, I guess, like, for goalies, it's a little different. Like, for skaters, it's like San Jose has no one, so then they all get elevated and look good. For goalies, they all look terrible until they go to a team that actually has some good defense there. But okay, so where were we here? We're on Dallas. I'm sad about Granlund. I'm holding him for now. Dallas is a good playoff schedule, but it's like, I just worry that I'm just like holding on to a guy because he has a good schedule, even though he gets an assist every couple games, like if that, which is nothing too special. He's playing with Duchesne, though. I don't know. Okay, let's go to the Carolina side of the trade. They are actually playing today. Oh, the game's over. So Carolina beat the Winnipeg Jets. This is the issue with prepping a podcast in the afternoon when there's lots of games happening throughout the day. 4-2 for the Hurricanes. My first stop is definitely going to be Logan Stankoven. And look at that, a power play goal from Stankoven, assisted by Gossesbear and Sebastian Aho. So, you know, like, Rantanen, obviously, you don't have access to pick up him in any fantasy leagues, but Stankoven is definitely available in a lot of leagues. He wasn't doing so amazing in Dallas, super high pedigree prospect, not available in any dynasty leagues or anything like that. But in a one-year league, if you can get your hands on Logan Stankoven, look, he just scored, like I said, a power play goal. And this top power play, like, Carolina now isn't that stacked. Like, they've got on the top power play Aho, Svechnikov, Stankoven, Seth Jarvis, and Gossesbear. And the second power play was Taylor Hall, Roslovic, Kotkaniemi, Jackson Blake. It's like, I don't see anyone here that's like threatening for any of those spots. So I feel like Stankoven could, I mean, who knows? It's like, you know, first day on the team, but it seems like he, and considering what they gave up to get him, like, you would think that Stankoven gets a little run here. Also, at even strength, Stankoven was playing with Aho and Svechnikov. So you kind of can't ask for better deployment. Like, yeah, this is Carolina, but at the same time, Stankoven going from a, you know, middle six and no great power play time in Dallas to now like prime deployment in Carolina, I'd definitely be interested, like, to some extent.
So before the trade, Stankoven was shooting under 7% and just firing shots like crazy. So have you seen Spaceballs? Are you familiar with that one?
You know what? I saw it a long time ago. I'm not sure if I'm going to get the reference, but let's try.
So there's a scene where all the gunners are cross-eyed and all of their names are asshole. So okay. Rick Moranis' character is surrounded by assholes who can't shoot straight. And Stankoven shooting less than 7% going to the Carolina Hurricanes, it's like they hired another asshole.
Okay, that's pretty, like, so you're saying you're not that interested in Stankoven, or it's about time that it's going to turn around?
No, I'm saying that, like, he fits their model of just firing pucks and not really shooting that well, but, like, I do really like the opportunity for them, because, like you mentioned, like, this should be awesome, and if their power play isn't the worst in the league, then it's going to be really awesome, and he's already scored on the power play in his first game there. So I think it's a good fit, him going from third line and second power play to first line and first power play and like 14 minutes a night to 18 minutes a night. Like, the opportunity exists. We'll see if it matters or if he's just another cross-eyed asshole.
Yeah, like, definitely I would say pick him up out of free agency. If he's for free, you're not paying anything, right? And then you can go from there. Everyone's probably past their trade deadline anyways, so nice to see an opportunity for someone that was like someone you didn't think twice about. 15 minutes 53 seconds today, 7 minutes of power play time for Stankoven. So yeah, we'll see how this shakes out at the end of the season as we play this through, and then through to the playoffs, of course. Okay, let's go to our next trade here. How about Buffalo and Ottawa? So Buffalo traded Dylan Cousins and Gilbert and a second to Ottawa for Josh Norris and Jacob Bernard Docker. Obviously, it's Cousins for Norris is the main event here. So let's start in Buffalo, I guess. Norris played in this 4-0 loss to Vitek Vanacek and the Florida Panthers, so not such a great game for Josh Norris. He had a shot, he had a block, and not much else. On the plus side, Norris was playing on the top line with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch. You can't argue with that. And Norris was on the top power play. Though, like I said, they lost and they got shut out by Vitek Vanacek. So if that's not going to trigger a coach to want to try different lines, then I don't know what would. Josh Norris only pacing for 50 points on the season. Do you see this trade as something that improves Norris's fantasy value, or do you expect things to kind of stay the same in this new team here?
I'm cautiously intrigued because of the deployment, because since the Four Nations, Dahlin's been healthy and he's been awesome. And I don't think we can make much of this first game because Florida's gone into suffocation mode and just no one's scoring against them. It's like, I don't even think on any of their power plays, they got a shot on net. So the fact that he's getting top power play, top line usage is good. Just, you know, hopefully they don't play the Panthers every game the rest of the way. And I think the Sabres actually do have like a pretty favorable fantasy playoff schedule. Lots of games, lots of opportunities. We got to see if he's still getting top line, top power play use when Jason Zucker gets back, because they just re-upped him for a deal. But I think right. that the fact that they just went out and kind of, you know, they put themselves out there with this trade, and this might be like the last move that Kevin Adams gets to make. So I think they're going to be looking to see what they have in Norris and get the most out of him. You know, the issue being that he doesn't seem to produce that well at 5-on-5, but if he's just a really good power play guy, like this is a good opportunity for him. And then obviously the shoulder injuries, like he's gone wayward because of that. And that's always a concern, but like, I don't know. I feel like he's available for free in a lot of leagues. And he could be a real game changer.
Yeah, like again, I guess similar to Stankoven, if you can get a top line, like top power play guy for free in free agency, like why not take the shot? And then if it doesn't work out, you could always drop him. Can I ask you a question, Steve? You know a lot about hockey, right? Why does Buffalo suck so much? Like this was their sixth loss in a row now to Florida. I look at the lineup, like what am I missing here? Like, I would have assumed, okay, Dahlin, like you said, is awesome. Then they have Owen Power and Bowen Byram. So it's like three really good defensemen. You'd think that's like a pretty good core, unless you tell me they're not good defensemen. You look at the forwards, all these like exciting, you know, Tuck, Thompson, Paterka, you know, then you have like Jack Quinn and now Josh Norris and like said Zucker. Like, I mean, it's not like nobody's. And yet this team, is it just like jinxed? Like, is Buffalo jinxed, I guess? Or is it like, am I just like overrating the like the on paper value of it? I thought UPL seems like a good goalie. I don't know.
So you know how every fantasy league has like one or two of those GMs that are just they're happy to be in the league. You know, they want to show up to, they want to show up to the draft, drink some beers, have some wings, you know, shoot the breeze. They like being in the That's group the chat, and they finish dead last every single year. And that's Buffalo. And I mean, they're not doomed. They're not jinxed. It doesn't have to be this way. You know, one of these years, they could strike it big in the right lottery and end up with a guy who is such a force of nature that he changes the nature of the franchise. But right now, they're happy to just exist in the league.
All right. I guess that's that. Every year I'm going to come in and be like, I think Buffalo might be good this year. And then I'm going to look like a dummy a few months later. Okay. Let's go to the Ottawa side. So they played the Rangers on Saturday, 1-4-3. Brady Tkachuk, a couple goals, including the OT winner. That's five straight games with a goal for Brady Tkachuk. I remember there was a stretch where he was super cold and I put some trade offers out for him. No bites, unfortunately. People in my leagues are too smart. That would have been a really obvious and smart buy low. Also, Tim Stützle, by the way, 14-game point streak. So he's incredible. But to the trade. So Dylan Cousins was playing on the second line in this game with Batherson and Perron. He had an assist, a shot, and 9 hits. So for your bangers leagues, that was an incredible performance for Dylan Cousins. He's only pacing for 42 points on the season. So another guy that's likely in free agency in the majority of leagues. This is a guy who did hit like 31 goals, 68 points a couple years back. Like Cousins was looking like a breakout star, then totally sputtered since then. Also, by the way, when I said this line of Batherson and Perron, I'd imagine, this is my guess, like Fabian Zetterlund is another guy Ottawa acquired from the Sharks. I'm guessing that Zetterlund bumps Perron and they go Cousins, Batherson, and Zetterlund, which seems like a pretty interesting line. So obviously I want to get your take on both Zetterlund and Cousins. Might as well start with Cousins, though. And it's kind of the same question I've had for Norris and for like Stankoven, all these guys. Like, you know, nothing special, likely available in free agency. Are you more into Cousins now if he's going to be part of Ottawa's top six versus Buffalo's?
I'm curious to see how much kind of that new team energy he continues to bring, because like 9 hits, that's crazy. And you know, maybe he gets juiced up because he's finally playing on a team that has a chance to make the playoffs, and maybe that's good. But it just kind of feels like one of those, like, you ever gone to one of those dinner parties and it's like there's a guy there, and this is the first time out of the house in like a really long time. He's yeah. really happy to be there. He's no, really putting himself out Steve, there.
I've been that guy, like having had a kid a couple years ago. It's like anytime I get to go out, it's like, we are drinking a lot tonight because this is my monthly allotment. We're going hard.
Yeah. So you've been extra Elon, right?
Yeah. That's like, Dylan Cousins in the first game.
Yeah. So, and at the end of the day, like you're Elon, you're a dad. You're not guy who's at the party 10 o'clock. Every single time. So I, you know, it'd be tough for you to maintain that for, you know, a 21 game stretch or however many games are left in the season. So I think this feels sideways for him fantasy wise, because he's not going to break onto the top power play unit. That's the only thing about Ottawa that can really score. I don't know. It's sideways.
It's like interesting, but who knows? Yeah. Also, then I guess the same question, obviously, for Fabian Zetterlund. I want to throw you some. You know, I want to be like a good like host here. Give you, but it's like it's almost the same question with these trades. I feel like Zetterlund, he was doing okay on San Jose. He had a really good end last year. He was playing at one point with like Granlund and Eklund, and it was the Lund line, and they were producing a lot. Zetterlund was on the top power play this year. He ended up getting bumped. San Jose has this new guy, Celebrini, who apparently is kind of good, so he's bumped some people down the lineup. Zetterlund only pacing for 46 on the season. Again, like I'm guessing they didn't acquire him not to be in the top six. I don't think that anyone's going to look at this lineup and be like, no, keep David Perron there. He's definitely the future, not Fabian Zetterlund. So I think it's a potentially good opportunity. Ottawa scores more goals than the Sharks do. Here, let me ask you it this way, Steve, to spice things up. Who has the best chance to improve their fantasy stock for the rest of the season between Norris, Cousins, Zetterlund? Is there anyone who like you have at hunch like this guy's going to take off now?
It's easily Norris out of the three. But again, like I'm not stretching out for any of them. But the thing that I like about Zetterlund is you're getting a better head-to-head fantasy playoff schedule with the Ottawa Senators than you are with the San Jose Sharks. And the fact that like he wasn't a negative plus minus draw on the Sharks this season is like pretty spectacular. So I think he has something to offer to the Senators, and he has something to offer in like really deep multi-cat leagues. Like he does a lot without being a huge scorer.
By the way, Steve, I'll say if we were to go out for drinks one night, even if it wasn't like my one night of the month, we'll talk hockey. I think it'll be fun either way. So, you know, just throwing it out there. I'll try my best to be a fun hang, even if it's not me coming out of the gate like Dylan Cousins. But we'll see. There's like so many people I've podcasted with that I've never met in real life. I wonder if we'd be friends, or like halfway through you'd be like, oh, look, I have a phone call. Sorry, I got to go. There's a fire. I'll be like, oh, weather seems nice. You're like, no, trust me. And then that'll be the end of it.
No, extra Elon is dragging me out onto the dance floor and we're having a good time.
Oh, geez. Okay, let's go to the next trade here. I'm trying to do this in order of importance. Obviously, it's a bit of a subjective thing here. I want to go next to Colorado, who traded for Brock Nelson. Always fun to see one of these guys that's been in the same place forever finally move teams. Looking at you also, Brad Marchand, who we'll get to in a bit. But yeah, Nelson is not an Islander anymore. He's going to Colorado. He went with Dofour for quite the return. Callum Ritchie, who I have in two of my dynasty leagues. And I got to be honest, Steve, I'm a little heartbroken. Like, I'm waiting for you to hopefully console me and make me feel better. But I feel like Callum Ritchie, I thought he was like going to be locked in to be like the 2C on Colorado for years to come. Now I guess he'll be the 2C on Islanders. So I don't know. It seems like a downgrade for his fantasy stock. Maybe you can tell me that you think the Islanders are just going to be incredible and Callum Ritchie's going to be a stud no matter where he is. But yeah, Ritchie, a first and a third. So a nice return for a pending UFA in Brock Nelson, Colorado. Clearly going forward, it would be awesome to see them face off against Dallas at some point in the playoffs. Looking at the deployment, so Colorado beat Toronto. They spanked them, 7-4. High scoring game. Nelson was on the second line, second power play. Looks like they were switching the power plays around a little bit in that game. But for the most part, yeah, it was Nelson with Nichushkin, who had a hat trick, and Jonathan Drouin. Nelson picked up an assist out of the seven goals. But yes, 11 points his last eight games now. So Nelson is coming in on a hot streak. Hard to imagine. Like, normally it's like a guy got to Colorado, high scoring team. Got to be better for him. At the same time, Nelson is like red hot right now. Like, he can't be hotter, I'd imagine. So I'm curious, should Nelson managers be like stoked, or like bummed, or just like hoping and expecting just things to kind of continue? I mean, that'd be awesome, I guess, for them if it would just continue the way it's been going.
I mean, so the Islanders' power play is really, really bad. And Nelson was getting a lot of minutes on it and was not producing any power play points. So, I mean, it can't get worse, even if he's not playing on Colorado's top power play unit. Like, he's still getting exposure to some really, to a really offensive team and to some really strong offensive wingers. So, like, the opportunity is equally tantalizing, even without access to top power play minutes. And I mean, who knows? Like, they could mix things up. Like, I don't know between Lehkonen, Drouin, Nichushkin, who's going to be playing on the top line or who's going to be on the top power play on any given night. So I think there's a lot of opportunity. And certainly for all those wingers, like, now they have a legit viable number two centerman who has driven offense for the New York Islanders, who are terrible at that.
Right.
So this is like, this is a really good improvement for them. Maybe less so for him, but I don't think it gets worse.
Hey, I mean, I think that would be fine for most people who, as usual, got Brock Nelson super late in their drafts. This year, for the first time in a long time, he was kind of a disappointment for a lot of the year, but has really gotten hot lately, playing with Palmieri. So we'll see if Nichushkin and Drouin can, you know, hold up like Palmieri has. I think that probably they'll be fine and that Nelson will be good. So yeah, I think it'll be fun for them. And yeah, like you said, I think this could only be good. Like, even if someone's bumped from the top power play, yeah, you got Drouin, Nelson, Lehkonen, and then obviously MacKinnon and Nate. Just like, there's going to be a lot of good players for these all to play with. It's funny, you look at Colorado, like, the bottom six still looks pretty dreadful. I guess now they have Charlie Coyle, who they traded for, who's a decent like third line center. But yeah, now it's just like a perfect, you know, you don't have a Casey Mittelstadt out there. You don't have anyone that's like, oh, why is that guy there? Like, it's all great players. By the way, Casey Mittelstadt, star of last year's trade deadline episode that we did. We started the show with Mittelstadt for a Byram.
Yeah, how much better was this deadline?
So much. Okay, I've got the other one. I got the document up here. Here was that show. We did Byram for Mittelstadt. Then we talked Gensel getting traded to Carolina, but it was kind of boring because Gensel was injured at the time. So it was just like, yeah, eventually he'll probably be good, I guess. We talked about Hanifin, who actually did turn out to be an impactful guy over in Vegas for the rest of that year. And he's looking good now also whenever he's on the top power play. Vanecek again got traded. Second year in a row talking about a Vanecek trade. He was traded from New Jersey to San Jose. Duclair, Tarasenko. It really goes downhill, actually. There's like no one else that interesting that we talked about. So we still got some big names here to go, including, once again, Casey Mittelstadt, by the way. Because, yeah, Colorado moved him to Boston to get this third liner, Charlie Coyle. Clearly, Mittelstadt's value has gone down because Colorado had to give him a second and a prospect named Zellers, which obviously then the gifts of Zellers, the old Canadian department store. I've been seeing a lot of those. Yeah, and that was for Coyle in a fifth. So Coyle cleared the higher valued asset. Not for fantasy, though, nothing really to talk about there. I'd say on the Boston side, though, it's kind of interesting for Casey Mittelstadt because in his first game, by the way, Boston beat Tampa Bay 4-0 yesterday. Pretty surprising considering they, I don't know, I think you would call them sellers at the deadline. And Tampa bought a couple players and then still couldn't get past Boston. Now, you know, it's obviously just one game in, got a gel. But yeah, Casey Mittelstadt was playing on the top power play. His line mate's not great. Boston loaded up the top line, quote-unquote loaded up. Zaka, Pastrnak, Geeky, leaving Mittelstadt with Lehtari and Cole Kopke. And I've seen this guy's name a bunch of times throughout the years, but I just still have never learned to pronounce it. Kopke, I guess I'll go with. And then Lindholm was with Lauko and Marat Kushnudinov, who came from Minnesota. So it's like, it's pretty much one line team. But hey, Mittelstadt, if he's going to be on the top power play with Zaka, Pastrnak, Geeky, that seems like a good spot. At the same time, it's Casey Mittelstadt, and we've seen him in good spots throughout this season and not able to do anything. But hey, one assist. Okay, he started with an assist, even strength assist for Casey Mittelstadt his first game. So this is another guy that's likely available to everyone, not at the same level as some of these others we've talked about, but any interest in taking a flyer on a Casey Mittelstadt if he's going to be on the top power play in Boston?
Yeah, I've never been a big Mittelstadt guy, but I think he's a classic loser-winner of the deadline because obviously he's a loser going to a team that's trying to lose. But he's a winner for fantasy owners who might actually get something out of him, because this team is so thinned out, they have to play him. And like, what's he really good at is passing to guys who can bomb shots, and Pasta can bomb shots. So, I tepidly like the opportunity, but the Bruins power play isn't that good. And if he's not playing with Pasta at 5-on-5, then it might be a little bit tough for him to get a ton of offense going. But fantasy stock is rising because it couldn't have been worse.
That's fair. I still can't bring myself to add him in any of my leagues, but watch list. I got him on the watch list now. Okay, so it's a step in that direction. Let's see how Mittelstadt does. Where do we want to go next here? I guess the Islanders don't have Brock Nelson anymore. They still were able to beat the Sharks yesterday, so that's good. The Islanders are playing Anaheim today. The game hasn't started yet. Doesn't look like there's any lines. I could tell you, though, from yesterday, Kyle Palmieri, I would say, is the beneficiary. Well, he's like, it's both. I'd be curious to get your take, Steve. Like, he loses Nelson, who they were doing so well with at even strength, but Palmieri up on the top power play. And Islanders had been rolling, like, kind of two somewhat even power plays, the Nelson one and the Horvat one. In this game against the Sharks, they just went Palmieri, Horvat, Duclair, Holmstrom, and Dobson. Then the second power play had like a couple defensemen and Peugeot, Leet, Siplikov. Like, I think it looks more like a typical like first power play and second power play. The minutes also was like almost double for that top power play. So I am curious to get your take on if someone like a Kyle Palmieri becomes a little more interesting. He actually didn't get a point in that game, but he did take six shots. And before that, he was on a bit of a hot streak, and that was mostly with even strength points. Though he did have a couple power play points recently because that second power play, or I guess the 1B power play with Nelson was pretty good, like you were saying before. So is that, that's, I'm trying to find someone. I'm thinking maybe Palmieri benefits moderately. Oh, did I tell you the even strength lines? I don't think I did. Okay, at even strength, Palmieri is playing with Horvat also. So, you know, you lose Nelson, but you play with Horvat. I think it's a good spot. So he's someone I think maybe at least stays the same, if not goes up after losing Brock Nelson.
Yeah, it's tough because this is one of those teams where they're almost reaching that point where they've sold off and they don't have an engine like the way that the Bruins have Pasternak, who is going to produce like just about irrespective of who he plays with. So now there's people who can pick up new minutes and really benefit. Whereas here it's like their engine is Barzal and he is injured and probably not playing again. So it might be tough, but it's also like they're this like veteran team, like super scrappy. They still have that in their bones. So I'm looking at like some of the multi-cat guys who, yeah, like Palmieri, he can offer maybe, you know, points here and there, but more you're looking for what can he do? Can he get me more than a hit a game? Can he get me, you know, three plus shots a game? That's kind of what the juice that you're trying to squeeze out of this team. And I think that a guy like JG Peugeot getting more power play minutes, a guy like Maxime Tsipikov, he could give you, you know, he's been really good on hits this year. Maybe he gets some more power play time, some more, like if it's even a point every second game, then, you know, that might be something that in deeper leagues you can take advantage of. But I don't know. Like, I think the guy who takes the biggest hit here is Dobson, because you were kind of hoping that their power play would have some juice and he'd be able to, you know, reinvigorate. Like, the guy had 70 points last year and now he's going to be lucky if he gets to a point every second game. I don't think anyone's buying on him. So, you know, you might have to drop him if you're in a league that's shallow enough. Otherwise, you just kind of hang on and hope the power play gets hot enough for him.
Yeah, or just like accept that he's not going to be as good as you hoped, but like better than replacement, at least, hopefully. It would help if Barzal was there, of course, but he hasn't resumed skating. That was as of February 28th. Barzal hadn't resumed skating. There hasn't been an update since, so looks like you're not getting him back for the regular season, or at least the fantasy playoffs. Let's take a break. When we come back, actually, I want to jump back to Boston really quickly. But yeah, we'll be back in just a sec with Steve Laidlaw, the firefighter, by the way. Someone in the comments was like, that was a weird excuse that you said that he would give, that I have to go because there's a fire. That's why I said that. Not that that's a common thing I hear from people that I'm hanging out with. But okay, we'll be right back. This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Okay, back with Steve Laidlaw here. And Steve, yeah, we already talked about Boston moving some people. I guess one guy I want to get your take on. Oh, I didn't even mention. So Brad Marchand, he was injured anyways, but now when he's healthy, he won't be there. He'll be in Florida. They moved Brandon Carlo, one of their big minute defensemen, to Toronto for a pretty good return for Brandon Carlo. A first, Fraser Minton, who I thought was considered a decent prospect. The one guy I'm curious about now is Mason Lorai, who was looking so good with McAvoy injured. He went on a nice run and he was producing on the top power play with all these extra points, or actually like minutes leading to points. But at this point, like, it's pointless in four games now for Lorai. And like, is this team just too depleted for him to be good now? Like, Marchand's not coming back. Like, are we at a point where maybe you have to consider dropping a top power play defenseman if it's on a team that like is just like shedding all of its, you know, producers aside from David Pastrnak?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a drain on your plus minus. It's not going to be good. But, you know, the desperation for defensemen that can get you power play points, it's pretty powerful. You know, once you start getting into those 12, 14, 16 team type leagues, the levels to which you go to find a defenseman that could maybe get you a power play point, you'll go pretty deep. So you could do a lot worse than what he's going to offer. I don't know how good the power play is going to be, but they've got Mittelstadt. He likes to dish to guys who can thump the puck. Pasta can still thump the puck. Lowry can shoot pretty well as well. So I think you're getting some good exposure to an elite player, and that's all you can really ask for when you're shopping in those pools.
All right. So, okay, let's move on from Boston now. Let's go to Florida, who gets Brad Marchand, but he's injured. So this is our Carolina from last year getting Gensel. Eventually, Marchand will come back. If he's back and like Matthew Tkachuk and they're both 100% in the playoffs, that's going to be a pretty scary team. Like a line of Tkachuk and Marchand and Bennett will probably not be fun to play against. But yeah, nothing really for us to talk about fantasy-wise here. A nice debut, like I said, for Vitek Vanacek, shutting out Buffalo. Vanacek's a pending UFA. Got to ask you, Steve, just selfishly, I have Vanacek actually in my dynasty league. Was very much assuming I would be dropping him at the end of the year once his contract is out. It's like a cap dynasty. Now, you know, at least now we could see who he is. I know Vanacek's been really bad for a while, but he's been on like Washington, where he looked decent for a little bit before falling off. Then he went to New Jersey, who stunk, and then he was on San Jose, who's terrible. Now we'll finally see Vanacek on a good team. Like, don't get me wrong, like, Bobrovsky's the starter. He's been incredible lately. Like, I wouldn't like say go grab Vanacek in your 1 year leagues, but I do wonder if maybe now he'll be at least a decent stream. Like, Florida has a back to back this weekend, Saturday, Sunday. I wonder now if like you just want, like you said, like if Florida's going to be a shutdown team, then even a Vanacek could be good. And when I say even a Vanacek, I am kind of curious to see like maybe he is actually like okay. Like, we saw Blackwood go to Colorado and look a lot better than he did in San Jose. Not to necessarily compare the two, but yeah, do you think there's anything to Vitek Vanacek, or do you think it's like next year he'll sign on as someone else's backup and struggle like he has his whole career pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, probably that, but I kind of like to think about goalies like dogs. And there are good dogs and there are bad dogs, but most of the time they're reflective of the environment that they're in, you know? Yeah. So you know, sometimes you know, you have a great dog that was brought up well, it's in a good household, and it'll still do something completely inexplicable. You just, you don't know what you're going to get. And then other times you've got a dog that is in a not so nice household and it's constantly doing erratic things. And it's a dog that you can only depend on it to do terrible things. And in this analogy, I think Vanacek is like the rescue pup that is now going to like a great situation. Right. He's still got that stray, that wildness in his DNA. You know, he might freak out and pee on the carpet. He might chew the drapes, but it's like he's going to get a lot of love. There's going to be a lot of patience. And I think that, you know, he might just be a great option to be around the kids. You just don't know. He's a rescue.
That's fair.
He probably had mange, but they might also deworm him.
Maybe. And it might be the kind of thing where, you know, the kids are about to go to college next year. So now they're going to have to find a new home for the dog once they've rehabilitated him. And maybe, you know, they'll know to only give him to a good place where, you know, they know that he'll be able to, you know, adapt well. And that'll be Vanacek's next team next year. Or who knows, maybe Florida extends him. They don't have a backup. As far as I know, there's no other backup in the system that they're expecting to come in next year. So maybe they can give him. I'm sure Vanacek would take like a $2 million per year for 3-year deal to be Bob's backup for the foreseeable future. I'm putting that out in the universe. And then would I keep him in my Dynasty League? Look, probably not. I don't think so. But at least maybe I'd be able to trade him to someone who's really desperate for goaltending. But okay, also on Florida, I want to mention, so last week, Brian and I talked about the Seth Jones trade, Seth Jones for Spencer Knight. We were really just assuming that Seth Jones would get on the top power play on Florida. So yeah, we're dum-dums because it's been 3 games. Aaron Ekblad has held top power play. Seth Jones, so far, not great. Pointless in 3 games since arriving. Florida's winning these games. It's not like Florida's necessarily disappointed. Maybe, I haven't looked, like maybe Seth Jones is doing well, like defensively or whatever, like helping them win those games. I'm not saying that Florida made a bad deal here, but yeah, no points. Power play 2. Meanwhile, Aaron Ekblad, 2 power play assists in these last 3 games. And Ekblad now has a 6-game point streak going. So I guess clearly Brian and I were too quick to anoint Seth Jones as top power play. Are you of the mindset that we need to now just assume it's Ekblad moving forward and Jones might not be too worthwhile in fantasy until something changes and it might not happen? Or do you think it's just a matter of time before they give Jones a crack and he starts picking up some points?
Yeah, I think everyone, like universally, was like, oh, Seth Jones to the Florida Panthers. Well, he's not that good defensively. And Ekblad, they like to use him as a shutdown guy. And he's like not that great offensively. So they'll probably bump back. Like, it's an easy assumption to make, and then it hasn't panned out. The fantasy playoffs are a week from now. So you've got another week to ride this situation out. And if it doesn't reverse course, then you got to get out of the Seth Jones business because you need another horse that can take you to the end. And I mean, the Florida playoff schedule during the fantasy playoffs is not good. So that's just one more reason to start looking for other options. But I mean, you ride this out for this last week.
Right. So give it a week, see if something changes. If not, be ready to ditch Seth Jones if he's a second power play guy going into your actual fantasy playoffs, especially with the bad schedule. I think I totally agree with you there. So we were talking about, I keep on having to reverse course here. Okay, so Brandon Carlo, I mentioned, Boston traded him to Toronto. So going to Toronto, Carlo played in that 7-4 loss to Colorado. 1 hit, 6 blocks for Carlo, played a ton of minutes. This is a loss to Colorado. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel with blocks especially, you have to look at who they were playing. Like, Toronto's not going to play Colorado all the time, so they're not going to have so many opportunities to have pucks thrown at you that you have to get in the way of. Hopefully Toronto will actually be like causing other defensemen to have to do blocks block shots, whatever smart hockey people say. So I wouldn't like just look at that and just bank on like Carlo being now a big blocker. Like, he was always fine, but you know, like to this level, he's not Alec Martinez or who was that guy that Edmonton got at the end of his career that like had like a zillion blocks all the time. He was like the blocks leader every year.
Russell,
that's it. Yeah. I don't know if he's the next coming of Chris Russell. Okay, I want to ask about this one, Steve. I'm a little bit perplexed, and I got to be honest. It's like, when it's the weekend now, like, I don't get to, like, it's like during the week is when I get to read a lot of hockey news and, like, kind of get the, you know, read articles and, like, get the takes of everyone. On the weekend, I have to, like, be present around my family. Very annoying. I saw that the Leafs traded a first and a prospect, Grabenkin, for Scott Laughton. Okay, and Scott Laughton, in this first game, he's on the third line with Domi and McMahon, had a hit and a block. Nothing special, similar to what he would do in Philadelphia. A first, like, so I'm looking at this Florida trade, where Florida traded a second that might turn into a first for Brad Marchand, and Toronto paid a first and a prospect for Scott Laughton. Am I right to be seeing this, that like Toronto paid more for Scott Laughton than Florida did for Brad Marchand, or am I missing something here?
So there's two things. The first thing, Marchand, the stipulations on the pick that's getting swapped, I think that tells you everything you need to know about his health situation. I don't think we're seeing him until the playoffs, and we'll see even then how things are shaking.
I see. So it's like riskier. So you can't just compare them player to player. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then Laughton, he's got another year of team control. So teams always pay more when you're getting multiple runs rather than one run. But Scott Laughton, like this trade was a better con job than the Theranos scandal. Like Philly was selling everyone that Laughton is one of the best centers on the market. And like, he hasn't even been playing center this year. Like, this is just fantastic work. Chef's kiss by them. Did you see, like, I know you only get to look at news on the weekends, but did you see any of the puff pieces about like what a good teammate he is? Oh, he stays after practice to shoot shots. Whoa. So guys can work on tips. Like just excellent sleight of hand by the Flyers. And like, of course, he's played center in the past. He probably is every bit as good of a teammate as advertised. But like, holy smokes, like they gassed this dude up in the media and the Leafs ate it up. They ate it up. Full hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, so we'll see how long. I mean, they lost to Colorado. I guess you can accept that. Colorado's a really good team. We'll see how things go next week. Laughton played not even 12 minutes of ice time. But hey, if his value is going to be what he does after practice, hanging out with people, maybe who cares about what he does on the ice? He's going to help the Leafs have a winning mentality. Because one thing you could say about Scott Laughton during his tenure with Philadelphia, he was a winner. He knew how to lead a team to win games, get to the playoffs, win. Oh, wait a second. No, Philly's been terrible the whole time. So I don't know what's going to happen here. But call me skeptical that this is going to work out well for the Leafs. But who am I? Just an idiot on a podcast. Okay. Let's go to the next trade here that I want to talk about. I want to go to Tampa Bay. They made a deal with Seattle. This is such a Tampa Bay trade, Steve. Like, they also spent a first. They spent two firsts and a second to also get like non-star players. Fair to say Scott Laughton-esque? I don't know. You tell me. Oliver Bjorkstrand, who once was a fantasy stud. I remember there was one year in Columbus where he just went insane. And then he was okay, like, for a couple years back in Seattle. What was it? Bjorkstrand paced for 59? Or he had 59 points last season. Like, that's not too bad. So it's not fair. But, like, and, you know, Yanni Gourde, like, just a solid. Like, I assume, I don't know, for some reason, but again, tell me if I'm wrong. I assume, like, that it's true, the press on Yanni Gourde, that, like, he is, like, a really solid third liner, like, not going to be valuable for fantasy, but is helpful to his teams. Like, obviously, Tampa Bay saw him firsthand for a couple cups, and they've decided they want him back. Kind of fun, by the way, seeing these players, like, win a cup, then go to another team, and then, like, come back later. Like, you have Yanni Gourde, you also have Riley Smith going back to try it again with Vegas. I think it's kind of cool to see because, like, you know, these guys, they win a cup, then the team that wins the cup, they don't have the cap space to sign these UFAs to big contracts. So it's like a fun strategy. Let them go for a couple years. And then when the contract looks a little better, the cap's gone up, lower percentage of the cap, you know, get them back. Try again. So I don't know. I'm a fan of Tampa. Like, I haven't, like, it just seems like they make smart trades. It does seem like a high price. We'll have to see how things go in the playoffs this year. As far as fantasy goes, well, first of all, Tampa got shut out by Boston yesterday, so I was surprised by that. Oliver Bjorkstrand was on the top power play and the top line for a bit of the game. They shook things up. At one point, there was like Bjorkstrand, I think it was with Point and Gensel or Kucherov and Gensel, I have to bring it up. It was like a good spot, and he bumped Hagel from the top power play for a bit. Of course, this is a game where Tampa got shut out, so maybe they switch things around again. Do you think Bjorkstrand is someone, and again, I guess this is the same conversation as like a Cousins and a Josh Norris, like, is Bjorkstrand someone you just need to jump on because he has the potential to have this, like, great opportunity if he's going to be on this top power play on Tampa? Or do you think it's kind of just like, you know, it's Oliver Bjorkstrand. He's not going to, you know, he'll probably keep up what he's been doing. You'll be happy. He's pacing for 49 right now. If he can keep that up rest of the season, you're probably, like, pretty happy with that.
So this is my absolute favorite trade that was made. I am all in on Bjorkstrand. As soon as there was whispers in the ether about him going to Tampa Bay, like, they desperately needed a guy who can pot goals as a right-hand shot. Like, they aren't missing Stamkos, but they're missing Stamkos just in that element. And he's got the potential to be that guy. Again, there's a week until we see the fantasy playoffs. If Bjorkstrand's still sitting on your waiver wire, you grab him, you give it a week, you give him the first game of the fantasy playoffs, you see what happens, because this has the potential to be explosive. He has the potential to score over a point per game if this clicks, and a ton of power play points and a ton of shots. They got shut out yesterday, but he hit a post on the power play shooting from that office. He has a fantastic opportunity, quite possibly the single best opportunity out of anyone who was moved at this deadline. This is a wow. huge get for them, a huge price to pay, but they know what they had in Gourde. He's going to score in the playoffs and be completely annoying to play against. And Bjorkstrand is a guy who's always had great per minute stats and just has never been on one of those teams that like will ride a top line. And Tampa Bay isn't necessarily building themselves to be a team that rides a top line. They have been, because they haven't had that depth. Now they've added a little bit of depth, but they will ride their top power play unit. And if Bjorkstrand continues to play there, I think it's huge home run potential. I grabbed him in a bunch of leagues as soon as I caught whiff of this, and I'm hoping it pays off.
All right. Well, this is quite a convincing pitch. I don't know if this is going to be good content or not, Steve, but in my main league, Bjorkstrand is still in free agency. Like, I'm going to release this episode. Everyone's going to hear it. They're going to grab him before I have a chance. I have one move left this week. Want to help me figure out who I'm dropping here to pick up Bjorkstrand right now live on the show?
Hopefully
everyone's watching live in my league.
Crosby.
So I think I'm going to drop. Okay, so the thing that makes it complicated is I have Kreider in IR. I didn't activate him yet, so I have to drop someone to activate Kreider, who had a good game today, by the way. A goal, four shots. All right, I'm going to drop, I think, Jake Neighbors, who doesn't play till Thursday anyways. So, and then I added Darren Radish, who, because Hedman was injured. But whatever, it's Darren Radish. He's not going to, how good is he, right?
It just depends on how many gasps, Hedman has left. But it seems like every time that Hedman's out, he gets on that top power play unit. And it's the same opportunity as Bjorkstrand. It's just there's a Hedman constantly looming.
All right, I'm doing it. Okay, give me one sec here. Hopefully no one is going to jump on this. Okay, I'm dropping Neighbors. Gone. Okay, this is great. This is a good podcast right here, trust me. Okay?
This is great content. Ad drops.
This is classic. All right, so I just activated Kreider, adding Bjorkstrand, dropping Radish. I would drop Bertuzzi, but he is playing tomorrow. He sucks, but I'll get the tomorrow game and then I'll drop Bertuzzi for someone.
Yes, yeah. Bertuzzi is the obvious cut here.
Yeah, Bertuzzi's going after his Monday game, maybe even to get Radish back. Done. I got Steve. If this doesn't work out,
you've got to give it a week.
If I win next week,
see how it goes. It's okay. it's like when you test out a mustache. You got to give it a week.
That's fair. Is that how it goes? You can't tell right away that you look like a creep?
Yeah, you got to give it a week.
Okay. If I win next week, I get a bye. So, and if I don't, then I don't get a bye. So next week actually matters also.
This is
I can't wait a week. I need big things. Okay.
Yeah, you have to be willing.
Okay. What else do I have here to talk about? Oh, yeah. Tampa, you like this for Tampa. I think it's cool that they pay a superstar price for non-superstars, and I just get the vibe. It sounds like you kind of agree. It's I feel they know what fits. They kind of know what they need. They have their stars, right? They have Kucherov, they have Gensel, they have Point, they have Hagel, whatever. They have Hedman. They have their stars. They need now the other pieces to win a cup. I guess maybe I'm giving them a lot of credit because they've won a couple cups, making trades like this, getting their Colemans, getting their whatever that guy's name that was on the Rangers, then went to the Sharks. Gaudreau, Barkley Gaudreau. Yeah. They know what they're doing. We'll see how this works out.
This is a superstar price. They gave up a bunch of firsts. So Rantanen, an actual player, an actual fungible player was moved in both of the times that he was moved. And
that's a good point.
Stars are rarely going for this type of price, and they're getting multiple runs out of Bjorkstrand. They've you know, Gourde has learned that the grass is not always greener, so they're probably going to be able to re-sign him in free agency this summer for cheaper than what he got, and they're going to be able to take a run at it. Like, how many more kicks at the can with Kucherov and Point in their prime? And now Vasilevsky, he had some surgeries, some injuries. He's, like, fully bounced back. These are the last gasps of Victor Hedman. Like, you only get so many chances. And if they aren't willing to trade these first rounders to get actual players now, then they might as well just be Buffalo.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Who cares about their firsts right now? They're caring about winning now. Good trade. I like it. Okay, where do we want to go next here? Okay, so there's the Seattle side. Is there any Seattle Kraken forward that is someone that you would consider as, like, you hold them on your roster rest of season and you're somewhat confident that it's not going to be someone you're going to think of dropping at some point for your playoffs? I can't think of one, and I'm including Jared McCann, who's been cold. It's just like, they take every week I'm like, Brian, Shane Wright is doing so well, should everyone Jaden Schwartz looking so good lately, and then every week it's like someone new. The guy from last week is now cold, and there's a new guy. Chandler Stephenson is, like, on a real hot run. Do you think it's gonna keep it up? Is there any forward? I like Beniers, but I mean, he goes hot and cold. Is there anyone?
There isn't. Like, I was really hoping that the exodus of this talent would lead to, like, a lot more minutes of Shane Wright, but it just isn't quite there. Like, somehow they traded a bunch of top six forwards and still have, like, nine top six forwards and still are terrible. It's hilarious. I don't know how they're doing it. It's quite the squad that Ron Francis has put together. But, like, really, it's about what are your specific needs, and that's the only thing that the Kraken players can do for you. So, like, if you need faceoff wins, you go grab Chandler Stephenson. You need shots on goal, you go grab Jared McCann, although he's probably sitting on the worst team's bench right now. If you need hits, like someone like Eli Tolvanen or that Ty Cartier. And if you need power play points, like maybe Shane Wright. But it's just like, if you're looking for consistency, like, dude, shop elsewhere, because this is not the place for it. It's like one of those what were those shops in the malls back in, like, the early 2000s?
Like the ones in the center of the mall, like the pop-up shops?
Well, you know, it was like those novelty gift shops.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's just a team of novelty gifts. Like, you're not getting
like anything. Like a robot dog that barks and kind of walks a little bit and then flips, does a backflip.
Yeah, sure.
I like those.
You know,
I never bought one, but I like when I walk by one, I like it.
Exactly. Like, you never want to own it. You would never want to keep it. It would just sit on a shelf growing dust, and then you'd eventually throw it out. But, like, great novelty.
That's Jared McCann. Sad. But here we are. I will say Brandon Montour is doing well lately. The defense, like, sometimes they have good, like, Dunn and Montour are good sometimes. But that seems to be about it. See that Grubauer's back? Oh, geez.
I guess. Yeah, you got a win, we'll too, but, like, whew.
Yeah. I would not recommend streaming in Grubauer or adding Grubauer for any game if you're not, ready to take a big risk. Okay, let's take another break, and then we'll come back with some more. We still got a lot of fun ones. Still, like, big-ish names that we can get to still. Well, we're going to tail off a little bit, but some names I'm excited about. Talk to you in a sec. Okay, so we've gone through, I guess I don't need to do a recap here, but, like, the big names, like I said, here's the one that a guy who's been really valuable in fantasy this year, Jake Walman, is going to the Oilers. The Oilers got Walman from San Jose for a first, another one of these firsts. Hopefully a late first for if you're an Oilers fan, and Berglund. So Walman in his first game versus Dallas, he was top pairing with Nurse, had an assist, three shots, two hits, three blocks. He was +3. If your league counts that, to be +3 on a team with Stuart Skinner is very impressive. That's hard to do. He lets in a lot of goals. It is, I should say, like, Ekholm and Klingberg were both out. So I don't know if, like, Walman's going to get top pairing, maybe Ekholm. I don't know. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out. Here's the frustrating thing. There were no power plays in this game for the Oilers. I was kind of curious to see if they would give Walman a shot there instead of Bouchard. I know that people have been, like, complaining that Bouchard's maybe not working out as well as they hoped. We'll see. Either way, I feel like Walman is definitely someone you want in fantasy in pretty much any format, especially like a Bangers format. But he's got a 53-point pace right now currently from his time in San Jose. Is it fair to say that Walman should be able to keep that up? even if he's not top power play, like just due to ice time and playing with good players, or do you think it's going to go down now?
Yeah, I'm not. But again, the like everyone that the Sharks traded is a hawk to a coin. They pumped him, they dumped him, and now it's time for you to move on. Now, like, there are circumstances, there are leagues, there are depths of leagues where he's still going to provide like enough blocks and shots on goal and maybe even plus minus to remain valuable. However, like he's not going to get top power play usage, and would, you know, again, like you mentioned, there were defensemen that were out for them. So we'll see just how valuable he is, but I think he is going to be valuable to the team. I think he's going to help with their defensive turnaround. He's going to make them a better team, but I don't know he's going to make your fantasy team better.
All right, I guess that's fair. He's been good this year, so I guess maybe this is like a downgrade. You get excited, of course, to see him being able to dish to McDavid and Draisaitl, but yeah, it probably makes sense. He only has, we're talking about Wallman here, 7 power play points on the season, so not like he's needed like so much power play production to get this 53-point pace. So I do like hold a little bit of optimism that he can be like 45 at least ish pay, like, you know, half point per game. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see how things shake out once everyone's healthy over on Edmonton. Is there any hope that a Stuart Skinner can get going, by the way? I just like talk crap about him, but I do have him in my main league, the same league where now I have Oliver Bjorkstrand. I'm really frustrated how I keep getting negative points in games from Stuart Skinner. But hey, the trade deadline came and went. The Oilers didn't trade for a goalie. They're supposed to be a good team. He's their starter, so I can't drop him, right? I'm not dropping Stuart Skinner, but am I just going to end up going down with this ship, and he's going to, in a critical day in a playoff matchup, he's going to give me like -5 points, and that'll be that?
I'm still a huge believer in Stuart Skinner. Now, like, again, goalies are dogs, and
right.
In this case, like, the dog is he's a perfect reflection of the owner, because there is no team in the league with higher highs and lower lows than the Oilers. And like the same thing for Skinner, like how awesome was he from November to January? He's fantastic. He's great. They were winning tons of games. He was, you know, middle of the pack save percentage. It's fantastic. So like in this circumstance, like it's probably not his fault. I think the Oilers are just the dog owner that is constantly leaving food out on the counter. And then they're getting mad when he jumps on the counter and gobbles all the food and is pooping on the carpet all week. Like, yeah, bad dog, but also, like, are we getting mad at the dog because Evan Bouchard keeps leaving food on the counter?
All right, so then that means that Jake Wallman is the Caesar Milan who's going to come in and help Skinner be a better dog because now he's a good defenseman, maybe?
Exactly. And, like,
boom.
They're going to be on their P's and Q's. They're not leaving food out on the counter. They're going to clean up their defensive game. I think Skinner's going to be awesome again. I'm counting on it because I have him in multiple leagues as well.
Okay, so we're riding and dying here together here. We got Bjorkstrand. We got Skinner. We're going to win our leagues or we're going to go down in flames, but at least do it together, Steve. And then we're going to go out for these drinks one day. And I'm going to bring you like one night out a month, Elon. We're going to have a good time. I don't know about the dancing, though. I didn't really like that part of it. But I guess enough shots. Who knows? Over on the Sharks side, man, the defense. I remember last year, what was it? There was a team that like had defense where I was like rolling off. I was reading that. Maybe it was the Sharks, actually. The defense
it was probably
so
the
bad.
Sharks.
So here's who they had for their game against the Islanders yesterday. Top pairing, Ferraro and Mukhma Dulin. Then Henry Thrun and Vincent Desharnais, and then Marc-Edouard Vlasic, who's somehow still in the league, and Timothy Liljegren, or Liljegren. I think he did come out and say like he wants it to be pronounced Liljegren. So there you go. So that's your top six defensemen on the Sharks. You're probably wondering, well, okay, so who's top power play? Nobody. They ran 5 forwards on the top power play. Toffoli, Eklund, Will Smith, Celebrini, and Alex Wenberg was the top power play, for whatever that's worth. It looks like they had, I'm looking at frozen tools here, 8 shots for, no goals, but 8 shots for and no shots against that 5-4 top power play. So that's good. They still lost. So yeah, there's not really a defenseman that I could recommend. Put Liljegren on the top power play, you cowards. Come on. I've got him in my dynasty. I wouldn't mind. No.
No.
So see, okay.
You don't go to Dairy Queen for a well-balanced breakfast. It's not on the menu. Okay,
I see.
But the Oreo Blizzard, it slaps. So, you know, later after a hot afternoon, you go out, you treat yourself. Okay. So like embrace the five forward power play. Those five forwards, like they're sizzling. Dig into the Oreo blizzard. Like Venberg has 7 points in his last seven games. So does Eklund. Will Smith has 9 points in the last seven games. Foley has five. But he's been like even more sizzling. Like there's gold in these hills. It's just not going to be a defenseman. You don't go to Dairy Queen looking for breakfast. It's not on the menu.
So did I blow it? Should I have taken Wenberg instead of Bjorkstrand with this last out of the week?
No.
Okay. So good. We're still good here.
Because all he does is put up assists. He's never done anything but assists. He's the new Alex Tanguay.
Tanguay had a good shooting percentage. He didn't shoot that much. When he did, it often went in. Wenberg up to 30 points in 60 games now with this stretch. That's his highest point pace in a while. Look at him. Okay, let's go to the Kings. They traded for... hey, Steve, another top line, top power play alert. Andre Kuzmenko goes to LA for a third. That was at least according to the last game. Let me give you the lines for today. They're playing currently against the Vegas Golden Knights. It's 2-0 for LA. I'll tell you right now, Kuzmenko has no points, but 2+2. He was on the ice for both of the goals and two shots. Kuzmenko playing with Kempe and Kopitar, and no power plays yet. But yeah, Kuzmenko was on the top power play in LA's last game against St. Louis, a 2-1 win yesterday. So it's a good spot. I don't know. Kuzmenko also is like, he's always good, I think, when he goes to a new team. He wears out his welcome eventually, but in Vancouver, he was good for a bit. Calgary, he was good when he got there last year. Seemed like things were going well at the start for Philly. Clearly, they were, you know, pumping him up and giving him the deployment with the plan to trade him. Do you think there's anything here? If Kuzmenko, like, does he fit in with our Cousins and Zetterlunds and other, like, new top line, top power play, or I guess top six for those Ottawa guys? But yeah, any interest here, Kuzmenko? I feel like it's hard to recommend him, like you said, about Wenberg, like, not a lot of shots. But you can't argue with deployment with Kempe, right?
No, you can't, because like he hasn't been productive with Kopitar, and like I what are the Kings doing? Like what are they doing? Like are they trying to get knocked out in the first round again? Because it's going to happen. Like this is their big acquisition. What are you doing here? Why is he on the top line? Why isn't their top line include Byfield? Like it's like that's their break glass in case of emergency option when they've completely forgotten that Kopitar, like he was hot to start and like he's lost it. That the man's as old as I am. Like, so eventually the wheels are going to fall off. And it sure feels like they're falling off. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Their power play stinks. And Kuzmenko's not going to help it. There isn't a league deep enough to draw my interest.
Interesting. Okay. I feel like you get a stray assist once in a while the deployment holds. I think I would take Kuzmenko over Alex Wenberg. Call me crazy.
I would not.
But... okay, that should be our bet. Next year, I'm going to listen to this in a year. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to look up who had more points rest of season between Kuzmenko and Alex Wenberg, and we'll see who's the smartest on this podcast. By the way, I called that episode last year Steve Tradelaw. I'm really proud of that episode name.
That's an excellent pun.
I think I'm going to have to just call this one Steve Tradelaw, too. Or like, I'm not going to come up with something better than Steve Tradelaw, right? Second annual Steve Tradelaw, something along those lines.
Yeah.
By the way, Byfield, not on the top power play. He got bumped by Kuzmenko, so that probably makes me even more mad. Not only does he not play on the top line, but now he was bumped. He's scored in two straight games going into today, shooting and hitting a lot lately. Sounds like you're a fan of Byfield. I was going to ask if he could end the season strong like he did last year. Sounds like it's maybe not fully in his hands, like his, you know, deployment would help. Last year he was playing with Kopitar and Kempe for a lot of the year. At least at the end. But yeah, by the way, the Kings are up right now 3-0, and Byfield just scored. As I was talking, how about that? I wish I could do that. I need to do podcasts on a Sunday when my matchup is on the line and talk about players that I need to score while the game is going. Because look at that. Byfield just scored a goal. The other two goals, by the way, one of them scored by Brant Clark. The other assisted by Brant Clark, someone we've all left for dead, at least for this year. Yeah. Even strength also. Clark has like no minutes today. But he's like the least number of minutes of all the defensemen on the team. One goal, one assist. So good for him. Anyways, let's go Byfield.
It wouldn't be on the power play because their power play stinks. But hey, we manifested a goal for Quentin Byfield. So our job here is done.
Okay. Well, good job for him. And who do you think, by the way, long term, I don't know. I got, whatever. I want to talk to you about fantasy like forever. Like, I have so many things we could talk about. Byfield's like a, you still clearly believe in Byfield as a long-term like dynasty, like asset. Like, you think he's going to be a star in the league one day, or do you think like it's still yet to be determined?
I waffle all the time, but like, so I've got him in one dynasty league, and like my line is like, I will trade him, but I need to be getting an established in his prime. Like, I want to overpay with Byfield plus other stuff to get an established in his prime number one center. Cause I still think that that potential exists, but I don't know. He may not get there. And like, certainly the Kings aren't making it easy for him to get there, but like, I don't know, the
Scott Laudon. We take Scott Laudon, established number one center. So I've heard.
Well, no, like, so the Montreal Canadiens, their top GM, like when they were winning all those cups, like his rule was you don't give up on a guy until he's 23, and Byfield's 22. So like it's hitting that line. And so, you know, we're right on the cusp of, I guess, finding out what he's going to be. But again, like Nathan McKinnon, what was he his first 5 years? And this is another really toolsy athletic guy who, like, you could see the explosiveness. It's there. It just hasn't emerged. So I think you got to wait. I think you got to keep waiting in those dynasty leagues. But you can wait forever and rack up a whole bunch of losses doing that.
Okay, so I still believe in Byfield as well. Byfield and Lafreniere are the two I'm like curious to see. Stützle clearly is turning out to be the best pick of that draft, but I'm curious if Byfield and Lafreniere still have that breakout that we're going to wait for. We got tastes of it last year at the end. It looked like it was happening, and they both got drafted way too high this year for what they've produced, but here we are. Philly, on the flip side, trades Kuzmenko. They just lost today to New Jersey. The one thing I made a note to myself, because again, I prepped this before the game started. I made a note to myself to check who's on Philly's top power play, because they were rolling Rasmus Ristolainen as their top power play defenseman. I assumed that was just to juice him for the trade deadline. And now that they didn't trade him, I'm seeing, looks like they ran two even units, actually, Drysdale on one and Risto on the other. So I don't know. I think probably time to give up on Risto. I think Ristolainen was good up to the trade deadline. We were talking about him as a good ad on the show. Like, my hunch is now they'll just go back to playing Cam York and Drysdale and Zamula and like other random people on the power play. Did you see also Michkov got benched today mid-game?
Yeah, I mean, that's... So we talked about like guys getting moved at the deadline and then there being potential opportunities for more... minutes and more scoring chances and stuff like that. Like, sometimes a team, like, they trade out so much talent that they've only got like one line worth of good players, and so they have to just gas those guys up and give them all the minutes, and it can actually, like, it could be really lucrative. But Tortorella, like, he's like the constable on patrol. Like, he's not letting anyone have any fun. Like, there will be no shenanigans. They're not going to run up the score. Like, this is not going to be like San Jose letting all of their young guns just go crazy, 5-4 power plays. Like, no, he's going to put a defensive guy on the number one power play unit. He's going to bench his offensive young star because he's trying to get guys to play a certain way. And like, yeah, you could put up a ton of offense playing his way, but like, you can't cheat for it. And so this is just one of those situations where that things aren't going to get loose. People aren't going to have bad habits. It's not going to be like crazy high scoring and super fun down the stretch. It's not going to be fantasy gold. It's going to be Tortorella's way or the highway. So unfortunately, I think Michkov, like, he's continued to bounce back from stuff like this. I think it's ultimately going to help him long term. It's just not going to help fantasy owners as much as this situation might have.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. So yeah, maybe, you know, don't bank on Michkov. You might have a critical game at the end of a matchup just for him to get healthy scratched, for all you know. Or he can give you like a hat trick, so it can go either way. But hey, you know what? You can't argue with Tortorella, because again, he's gotten the results, just like Scott Laudon. They're winning. Oh, wait, no, it's not working out in Philly. They suck. Try something different, I think. I don't know. Let's have some fun at the very least. Okay, let's go. I've got some really minor trades now to finish off, and then maybe we can do some hot streaks and cold streaks and let Steve get back to his important busy life. But okay, first, you got to talk about Anthony Beauvillier. Actually, I have nothing to talk about here. I just wanted to mention. So the Pens, I just want to mention this because I want to look at the Pens lines. This is another, like, I left a note for myself to check mid-show. show because Pittsburgh traded Beauvillier to Washington, which is like whatever. But it's like Beauvillier, who's like not a big deal player at all, but on Pittsburgh, he was a top sixer because they're so shallow. So I was just curious to go and check who Pittsburgh was rolling in their top six. They had Crosby, Raquel, Russ, so loading up the top line. Then Malkin was playing with Tomasino. Oh, a newly acquired Tommy Novak. That's kind of fun.
Who got hurt?
Look at it. Did someone get hurt?
Yeah, Tommy Novak got hurt.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's that. By the way, the top power play I'm seeing was Crosby, Raquel, Hayes, and Rust. Did Malkin got bumped from the top power play?
Yeah.
What's going on? These guys.
Yeah. It's bleak, won, but though. Yeah, and they didn't trade Crosby wingers. So, things aren't looking great for Malkin, but, for Crosby's fantasy value the rest of the way, I think this can still be productive.
Mm-hmm. I've got Malkin in one league. He scored a power play goal, but now I'm seeing it was from the second power play. So hopefully that doesn't last. Okay. Well, we'll see. What else do I have here that I wanted to talk about? Oh, so Vegas got Riley Smith. I thought that maybe that could be fun, but it looked like he was playing on the fourth line to start. To be fair. Okay. Actually, Vegas, I believe, is playing today also. Let's see if that.
Yeah, they're
that
losing game has to started. The Kings.
Okay. Oh, that's the game where they're up 3-0. Okay. Yeah. So Vegas Golden Knights, what lines are they rolling here? Riley Smith is playing with Nick Roy and Victor Olofsson. Eichel and Stone still playing with Tanner Pearson. That's what I was going to mention. It's like Tanner Pearson has been on the top line, had a couple multi-point games. I was thinking maybe I just feel like that's not going to last, but who knows who's going to go there. Maybe at some point Riley Smith gets a shot just for kicks. So I don't know. Probably nothing, but just remember he's on the team at the very least.
Yeah, so with Beauvillier and Riley Smith and some of these lesser trades, I don't know, Michael Lewis, are you familiar with his work? He wrote The Big Short and Moneyball.
I thought he was a runner. I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah, you're thinking of someone else.
Carl Lewis. I'm thinking of Carl Lewis.
Yeah. So
I saw the movie Moneyball.
Yeah.
That was good.
So he's got a few other books, but one of his books is
Brad Pitt knows about baseball. Yeah. He's good at Okay, sorry. Yeah.
So this other book, it's called The Fifth Risk, and it's all about these public servants who they do these majorly important jobs, but they're completely unglamorous. And I guess what I'm getting at is that Moneyball was a much more successful book.
Okay, so you're saying that Riley Smith is not doing an important job at the end of that?
No, that's where you were going. It's majorly important. It's just no one cares.
Oh, I see. Same with these players. Gotcha. All right. Checking back in on going back to that Seth Jones trade from last week. It was for Spencer Knight. Spencer Knight in Chicago, 2 games, 2 wins. 2 good games for Spencer Knight. It's been 4 games for Chicago, and Spencer Knight has played 2 of them. So you may just look at it and be like, it's just going to be 50-50 with Soderblom. Though one of them was a back-to-back, so it is possible that Knight could be 3/4 of the way. We just don't know because we need a bigger sample size. I don't know what their plan is. I feel like why not just have some fun and just play Spencer Knight as your starter and see how it shakes out, especially since he hasn't lost yet. It's going to be a really big test for him tomorrow. Chicago is at Colorado. And I'd imagine Knight is going to get the game. I'm very curious to see if he's going to be able to hold up or if he's going to have his first of probably many blow-ups with Chicago. But what do you think of Knight moving forward for the rest of this year and then for the next couple?
So you got to remember, goalies are dogs.
Goalies are dogs. All right.
Knight,
gotcha.
Knight is a good dog.
And he's on a terrible owner.
He had some hiccups, but he's a good dog. The new owners, they keep letting him off the leash.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to get into. It could be a hornet's nest, could be a skunk. I just know that there's more negative results than positive ones with the way that the new owners are, the circumstances they're putting him in. But he's a good dog.
Right. Sure, could be fun. If you need a goalie, Knight is out there. I don't know if I'm rushing to grab him against Colorado, but I'd be kind of interested to
That'd be rough. That would be a rough circumstance. That's like going off leash in a playground with clowns. It's just not a good circumstance for him.
Okay. And actually now Shams is mentioning in the chat here that the coach said it'll be 50-50 Knight and Soderblom going forward. That was a quote from March 5th. But hey, 2 losses for Soderblom, 2 wins for Spencer Knight since the trade. So maybe at some point, but also who cares that they're basically the Sharks, but they're the Blackhawks. So there you don't really care about winning. I'd imagine if anything, you ain't got to lose, try to get that top pick. But okay. Since also on Chicago, so Ryan Donato wasn't traded. That's surprising to me, considering maybe they're planning to lock him long-term, considering he's their best player now. 8-game point streak, doing better than Bedard. Where did Ryan Donato come from? Like, who is this? Is this like actually for real in your opinion, Steve? Or do you think this is going to be like in a month from now? We'll be like, ah, remember that time when Ryan Donato was going nuts every game?
Yeah, he's a guy who can put up a bunch of kind of like empty calorie points. Like, he's going to give a ton back the other way as well. So like, he's a perfect Blackhawk player. And definitely like multi-category production. Like, he's doing it across the board. He's a good player. He's just not great circumstance, but he's a good option.
All right. And then continuing on with some non-trade deadline stuff, but we have some sad news in New Jersey. Jack Hughes out for the season. Dougie Hamilton is hurt and it's looking long-term. So yeah, the Devils definitely don't look like a team that's going to be too much of a threat. But just like how I made fun of Pittsburgh and how they look so bad and yet they won today, guess what? New Jersey also won. It was against Philly, to be fair. I am curious to just, again, one of these notes I left for myself today. A lot of games today for, you know, like, how are people supposed to do Sunday night podcasts? What are they, prep on the fly?
You do it during the NFL season because the NHL refuses to go up against the NFL. But as soon as the NFL season's done, they start putting games on Sundays.
Then Sunday's fun. Okay. But it makes it for... this is fun podcasting, right? You see my reaction in real time as I learn what happened. But yeah, so the Devils' lines today for this win against Philly. Looks like Stefan Nason was on the top line with Meyer and Hischier. That's interesting. Did Nason get a point? He had an assist. Oh, and five shots? Okay, let's see. Who was the goal here? Nason assisted on a goal from Cody Glass. And Luke Hughes had the other assist. So I don't even know what's going on. He's not one of the... Cody Glass isn't one of the people I just mentioned. So I don't know.
Well, they did just pick him up in a trade from the Penguins.
Right. Okay. It looks like Glass mainly was playing with Sprong and Haula. Haula scored a goal. So I don't know. Maybe there was a line change or something. As far as power play... Okay, it looks like there wasn't a long power play. Because I'm seeing Dumoulin. I was like... I'd imagine it's going to be Luke Hughes getting the majority of power play time now moving forward with Hamilton out. As far as the even strength lines, maybe take a look. If you're going to have Nason playing with Meyer and Hischier, that's a pretty good spot. And I'd imagine he'll still be on the top power play. So Nason's been really cold lately. He was good earlier in the year, but he was like lately as like a bottom six. So it was like just that top power play, nothing else. So if he's going to actually be like on a scoring line, then maybe that's someone to look at in a deep league. And then I'm seeing Mercer was playing with Jesper Bratt and Palat. So sad for Bratt to be with these guys. But Mercer, I mean, I know that a lot of people think Mercer's going to be a really good player. Maybe is one, just doesn't produce in fantasy. But that's how things look in New Jersey. Not the powerhouse team that we thought they might be going into the year. It was looking really good. And without Jack Hughes and Dougie Hamilton, that's a big difference right there. And by the way, and I guess the other follow-up is like Jacob Markstrom is really struggling now. It's probably not going to get better with these injuries. Jake Allen got the start today. So, like, yeah, this win today wasn't even Markstrom. So I wonder if at one point, and I know you're going to say all goalies are dogs, and now maybe this owner used to be, like, really wealthy, but they lost all their money betting on Bitcoin or something, and maybe that's where we are now. But
Here's the analogy. These are good dogs. These are really good Markstrom. Dogs. The parents have gone away for the weekend. The kids are now taking care of the dogs. The early results were wobbly. Markstrom, he got into the neighbor's garbage. He kind of smells like a trash dog right now.
Okay. You know,
but they're going to give him a bath. He's not going to smell so bad. Today, they prevented Allen from darting out into traffic. It could have been horrific. Things are getting better. Okay? The kids, they might pass this test. They just might pass the test. And the good news is there's not too many tough challenges left on the schedule for them. So I think it's just a spot start type situation. Again, these are good dogs. The circumstance, it's shaky. We don't know what we're getting from these kids. But it could still prove to be a good situation.
Could be okay, but I think if you're depending on Markstrom to be like one of your, you know, safe bets, don't have to think twice, goalies
can't do it anymore. Playoffs,
yeah. You have to
maybe can't do it anymore.
You're gonna, too bad. Because I know he was getting drafted high in a lot of leagues. I wanted to look at the Rangers quickly with Chris Kreider back in the lineup. For Kreider's first game back, he was in the bottom six and not on the top power play. I'm seeing today Kreider did get on the top power play. It was Zibanejad and Miller and Panarin and Zach Jones was still there. So if Kreider sticks on top power play, and like I said, he had actually a shorthanded goal today. So maybe he's someone who was dropped in a lot of leagues, who's dropped in one of my leagues, like I mentioned. So I like him better now on the top power play. Man, those vibes though. Yesterday after the Rangers lost in Kreider's first game back, I searched for Kreider on Twitter. Sometimes I don't search on Twitter anymore to get like valuable information. Like I sort of have the people I follow to get that. But sometimes I just want to search for a player's name and just see all the tweets about him just to kind of see what the fans feel about the guy. Oh man, were people big mad about Chris Kreider and how bad he looked in that Saturday game. They're like, you benched Brett Berard to play Chris Kreider? This is a joke. This guy's an embarrassment. And they were mad. Also, there was a conspiracy theory that Chris Kreider, Twitter's very fun, by the way, for things like this. So Chris Kreider apparently faked his injury so he wouldn't get traded at the trade deadline. Like he purposely didn't want to get traded. So he like pretended like he was injured. And then as soon as the trade deadline passed, now he's healthy, because now he's like, okay, now I want to play again, now that there's no risk of me getting traded. So Rangers fans like really mad at him for that, for pretending to be injured, so that just so we could avoid the Rangers getting something good in return for him.
Yeah, as it turns out, fans of sports, it's like they're super rational.
But yeah, so anyways, Kreider's like borderline probably, but I'd hold on a little longer. Four games next week, and he's on the top power play again. Could be worse.
Yeah, not a great schedule for them in the fantasy playoffs. So there's that. But yeah, you got another week to try to extract value and show patience, and then all bets are off because it's the fantasy playoffs.
Another outry I wanted to look into quickly is on Columbus. Yegor Chinnikov is back. Columbus actually just played the Rangers today. And yeah, I was talking about how good Kreider did because he was got a shorthanded goal. The Rangers got killed 7-3 by Columbus. So not a good game for the Rangers overall. I'm going to imagine the fans are not going to be happy about Kreider once again, just a guess. But on the Blue Jackets side, yeah, so Chinnikov is back in the lineup. He's been playing with, well, today actually, he was looks like a bottom six, like with Luke Kunin, who's newly acquired, and Justin Danforth. So the lines were Voronkov, Marchenko, Fantilli. Fantilli got a hat trick. Then Kent Johnson, Jenner, and Matthew Olivier. So a lineup upgrade for Olivier playing on the second line here, and then JVR in the bottom six, and same with Chinnikov. So I guess Chinnikov is someone who looked good at points, but I guess now if you were holding him in your IR, excited to see what he was going to do for you, clear drop if he's going to be in the bottom six. So I think that's kind of all that we can say about him, unless you have anything further. Though, oh, by the way, Matthew Olivier, not only did he get in a good spot, I'm seeing here two goals on four shots and playing with Kent Johnson. I love Kent Johnson. If you're playing with Kent Johnson and Boone Jenner, that's a good spot. I don't know how long it'll last, but Olivier also is good for hits. So this could be a pretty sweet guy in a bangers league if he's going to hold the spot.
Big hits, Pim's guy, and any points you get is just a bonus.
And then to finish off, one more goalie. So one more dog analogy before we get out of here. Connor Ingram is going back to the player assistance program. This is kind of like not the most jokiest of matters, because he had like a tragedy in his life. And so that's why he was there before. And now he's going back again. Long story short, Karel Vejmelka is the guy. Like Jackson Stauber is the other guy. But obviously Vejmelka is just going to get a ton of games. So going into your fantasy playoffs, if you want a volume goalie, you probably already should have known this because Vejmelka's already been playing a bunch of games even before Ingram left. But yeah, Vejmelka might play the most games of any goalie in the league for the rest of the season. Might be between Vejmelka and Kevin Lankinen. Because at some point you'd imagine Winnipeg like stops playing Hellebuck every game and gives them some rest before the playoffs. You would think, not that they ever do that. Maybe Tampa might do the same with Vasilevsky. So yeah, my bet is Vejmelka leads goalies in games played from this day forward. Someone to look at if he's available in free agency. I don't know what else to say about him.
Every dog has his day.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for coming on. This has been such a fun show, an amazing second annual Steve Trade Law Deadline Spectacular Extravaganza recap. I think we've really extracted a lot of value. Just like you said, these teams are going to, or we should as fantasy managers, extract value from our players for one more week before deciding what to do for the playoffs. Hopefully, I've extracted all the value I could from you and all of your insights on all of these players. Always a lot of fun. Hopefully, people listening, thank you, by the way, for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe. All that stuff. We've got a Patreon, keepingcarlson.com/patron, where you can show us some support. We wouldn't mind. Steve, anything you want to tell people to check out before we end this? The main thing I know that you do is your projections every year. I'd be curious to know, have you checked back on them to see how they're looking so far? Any interesting lessons learned at this point?
Yeah, it's been a poor year.
Oh.
It's last year was a much more successful one. was able to ride those rankings to three championships. And this year's looking, the boat's looking a little bit rockier.
Interesting. So, do you think you did anything different, or do you think it's just the luck of the draw with these things?
Sometimes it's luck of the draw, but I think I was able to invest a little bit more time into the rankings the previous year, and that left me a lot more prepared than I was this year. But hey, they're free, so
that's fair. But I think next year when you release them, you should probably also release how much time you put into it, so we can know how much stuff we want to put into it.
The time quotient.
Yeah. Okay, well, this has been a great show. Clearly, you put a lot of time prepping for this episode, because it's been all gold. I already thanked everybody. So yeah, everyone, we'll be back for another couple episodes throughout the week. We've got our short shifts dropping on Wednesday mornings. Friday mornings are always fun. And then Brian and I will be back. Oh, I should mention, I dropped a show. Steve, I do a show called Matcher Maximizer every Sunday morning, where we look at the next week's schedule. So if you want a breakdown of next week's very important fantasy schedule, which teams have good weeks, which teams have bad weeks, which players to target, check that out. And I'll be doing that again next week. So yeah, just make sure you're subscribed. And Brian and I will be back with a big episode next week. I guess we'll probably look into a lot of these players, get Brian's takes, and then we'll have another week of data to see how our Josh Norris's, Dylan Cousins, Stankovens, Rantanen's, how everyone's looking, Nelson, after another week on their new teams. But until then, let's just all try our best to make sure that for everyone who we hang out with, fantasy hockey is for everyone. See ya!